In Jesus' most precious name we have prayed. We are excited to be here, and it's also our joy that we are all gathered here at such a time. One thing is for sure, that the purpose and the significance of this gathering will remain accomplished in everyone's life. Surely. But at the same time, we have to be deliberate about it. We have to be intentional about it. Pay attention while you are here, because God has gathered us here. I know, surely, that something definite and significant will occur in our lives tonight in the name of Jesus. I've told us this story before, and I always tell us, God anticipates the evolution of technology. God anticipates the evolution of technology. God anticipates the evolution of technology so that he can hinge his purpose on it. The reason why there is biblical literacy and it has spread forth is because of the printing press that was invented. Initially, when they wanted to reproduce the scripture, they have to copy it manually with their hands. And it had a lot of issues. We had a human factor, because error increases when there's human factor in translating and copying, omission and all of that. And then it was cumbersome, it was tedious, and it was very slow. It was a slow process, because if you are copying text out and you need accuracy, you don't have anything to do with being in a hurry. You have to take your time. So tell me, how many million people are we going to need to translate 1 billion copies of the Bible? And how long is it going to take them to do that? So when the printing press or the printing machine was invented in Gutenberg, the first document that was printed was the Bible. That's to tell you how important and how significant the scripture is, and the partnership or the collaboration between technology and the advancement of the gospel. Are you listening? The scripture is true, prosperity will spread abroad. But it's not just about financial prosperity, but also prosperity in intelligence and wisdom. So my cities, through prosperity in general, whatever is prosperity, it will be spread abroad. God spoke to his servant in the 80s. He said, the time will come, you will stand in one place on the earth, and then people all over the world will hear you speak at the same time. Mind you, that time, the internet was already under play or was already invented, but the internet was not for the public. Because at the time where the internet was invented, I've told us before, it was only used for research and military organizations for communication, long-distance communication. It had nothing to do with the public domain. So the idea of satellite communication and internet collaboration was not a thing. So when God told him, he just believed. But it didn't plug in his own ideology how that was going to be. But today is all over the place. It stands to preach and millions are listening at the same time. So this arrangement today is a contrivance of spiritual evolution. That this is a contrivance in the sense that God has anticipated the progression of how technology will evolve. There are traditions where they speak orally. That is, before writing was invented, you have to memorize the doctrine. But writing was invented by wisdom. And guess what? God's word is in writing. As a matter of fact, God spoke to Moses to write down his commandment. Do you see that? So the fact that we are gathered together like this virtually does not reduce the capacity of God or the things that God desires to do, because it is according to his will. Like I've said to some of us before, I say we have the capacity to call a physical gathering, but ability does not suggest execution. This is still the directive. So if God has chosen to limit himself within this sphere, it means that there's nothing that will be found wanting. He said to his disciples, he said, when I sent you out, you didn't carry purse, you didn't carry anything to keep your money, you didn't carry provision. He said, did you lack? And they said, no, we didn't lack anything. But ideally, when you are traveling, you have to go with money, you have to go with provision. So then you can eat on the highway, because they were not like you're selling stuff there. And even if you go to where they are selling stuff, you need money. But imagine he's sending you and he's telling you, don't carry money, don't even carry anything. Just go. The fact that he has placed a limitation on your operation means that he has got it covered. I'm saying that to emancipate somebody from the mentality of the fact that we are just God. This is so serious. And we've heard striking things go on, striking testimonies and the like. Are we together? Therefore, remain vigilant and pay attention and be connected in the spirit. Remain vigilant, pay attention, be connected in the spirit. It's going to be a glorious time. Father, we give you praise. Father, once again, we thank you for this privilege. Thank you for the men and the women that are here. Lord, I ask that even tonight you would breathe upon everyone again. Let your wisdom, let your word, let your grace be felt. We make demands for angelic encounters, interventions and turnaround encounters, supernatural experiences that we translate to tangible manifestations that will bring results and change of stories and change of narratives. Kale sokonde repeke simbratada, keko telabarani shekete lebrata bashiekedo, levranti brotoko sapradagadia. Thank you, mighty God. In Jesus' most precious name we have prayed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Remember that meeting. We can see that the position and the timing of this meeting is not positioned at within seasons of convenience, in the sense that ideally we don't usually hold meetings at this point in time. But somehow we understood that it was necessary for us to gather. And so while we were still just trusting and waiting if there will be any possibility, we found a directive there. We are, our gathering and this assembly tonight is to project to us a picture of the future and to bring clarity and direction. Clarity and direction, as well as understanding of posture, how to position for the things that will come to pass hereafter. Because we have come into a very significant era, a very significant position in timeline. A few days from now, we'll step into a new cycle. But there are so many things written concerning that new cycle. And we need to position. Also, these things have been building up from previous years. Some of them will hit a mark. Some of them will come into completion within these few days and the season we are breaking into. So that at the beginning of the new phase is a new level and another extent of deployment. So I want us to pay attention. The reason why you are here is to receive from God. And like the law of focus says, you say, anywhere you are per time, be there. If your presence is here, let your presence remain here. Because it's important that you catch the word as it comes. Listen, the law of the spirit says it's the word that you catch that becomes yours. So if you open up your heart and every word enters into you, you will live here illuminated. You say the entrance, the penetration of your word, it gives light, it gives an illumination, it gives a direction. It clears confusion. It brings an impartation. And so these scrolls have been bound for some time, but now they are going to be opened. And why are they being opened at this time? It's because it is relevant and important for such a time as this. It's relevant, it's important, it's significant for such a time as this. Some of the things I'll be telling you tonight are not things that, okay, we have our assembly, what do we say? I'm going to, as much as we have the liberty, I'm going to be adding the date to it. Why is it being shared now? Because it is relevant and now significant for the hour. Again, God is not limited in space or time. It is only you that can limit God in you. That's why the psalm says they restricted the spirit of God within themselves. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This night or tonight, I'm going to be unveiling a document, unveiling a scope, unveiling an insight to us that has been captioned, unveiling or heralding the age of wisdom. The age of wisdom. We unveil the age of wisdom, or the age of wisdom. The age of wisdom. The age of wisdom. Stated, the age called wisdom. That's the word. The age called wisdom. The age called wisdom. The age called wisdom. The age called wisdom. Not just the age of wisdom, the age called wisdom. Very quickly, in Jesus' most precious name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen.
The age called wisdom. As we want to give a balance, I want to first of all just make us understand the concepts of names and naming. Right?
Yes,
names. Because the word says the age called wisdom. So what are names? Why names? First of all, we need to understand that the idea of naming things is an invention of God. Are you listening? It's an invention of God. It's not a human idea or concept. It's not a human ideology or concept to name things. It's God's invention. The Bible says, and he called the morning day, and the darkness he called night, right? He said, and this was the first day. So it's all an invention of God. If you go through the creative account in Genesis, you will see that naming of things, and he called day, and this he called night. So naming is an invention of God. But why is it critical? Remember when he brought Adam, when he made him, he brought forth the living things to him, and then gave Adam a privilege also to name them. Listen to me, it's possible for us to have gone without naming things. It would have been tedious, it would have been, you know, very difficult, but maybe we would have just gotten used to it because we wouldn't have known that there's such any other ways. But from the beginning of time, God invented names. Why is it important? It's because naming is part of the process of creating. Naming is creating. That is, before God creates, he names. That is because the naming process is part of the creative process, because the naming process defines the entity. The naming process sort of carves out the details the individual. Why are confectionaries called sweets? Because they are actually sweet. So if we have a sweet that is bitter, it's that's the concept. I talked to us about how the about that breaking transmission. I hope you can hear me. Liborata skinda labarakatos. Can we hear me, sir?
Yes, sir.
So we said naming details out the individual. And we're talking about the verb teach and then the noun teacher. And that the noun and the verb are related because a teacher is someone that teaches. The noun teacher is called an agent noun because it was derived out of the function, which is the verb to teach. That's what naming is. It is to detail the process of the individual, to define the individual. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Let's read Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Romans chapter 4, verse 17 says what? Peter, read it for us very quickly. Romans 4, 17. Or if any other person who has the ability.
Romans
4, 17.
As it is written, yes. I have made thee a father,
yes,
of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were.
Praise the Lord. I know that's a very popular scripture.
Hallelujah.
It says God that quickeneth the dead and calls those things that be not as though they were. That portion of scripture written in Greek, the word called here is kalio, right? It's the same word that the angel used when he told Mary that you shall call his name Jesus. So he say he called those things that be not. That is, to create non-existent things, he first calls them. He names them, confirming to us that the naming process is part of the spiritual creative process. And the naming process is to give identity to the entity. Are you there? So, the name of Jesus actually means Savior. We know that, right? What did he call?
Yes, sir.
He became a Savior. He's still a Savior. I will be a Savior forever. Savior. So the naming process, it gives the details of the individual. Naming is part of creating. Is defining, to define. In our learnings from secondary school, primary school, they always tell you define it. Define this. Why? Definition. Definition gives the scope, the such that through the name we know what it is, so that it's such that we can see as the name implies. And so when somebody says it's an, and you can see that's a naming process in the spirit. You can see the Bible talked about a lying spirit. Is a spirit that tells lies. An unclean spirit. Is a spirit of uncleanliness, spiritual uncleanliness. a blind spirit. And you can see the Bible said, man who was possessed with a spirit of deafness and dumbness. This, the manifestation of that spirit was caused deafness and dumbness that cannot be remedied by any scientific intervention. Right? So, to name is to create. Through the name, we see the definition. In the definition, we know what the entity is and what the entity is not. So, if I define, I'm using a noun because it's one of the things everybody knows. If I define a noun for you and I define a verb for you, once you see a noun, you can tell it. Why? Through definition. The same way the name defines the entity. So if his name means savior, call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. That was what the angel said. Why? The name defines the individual. When we see him, we know this one is a savior. Are we together tonight?
Yes, sir.
I can't be clearly, Emmanuel. Can we hear me? Can we hear me clearly?
Yes, sir.
Good. So, when we say the age called wisdom, it defines an age for you. And that in itself is an insight that we have progressed into the age that is called wisdom. That is, the age has a name. And because it has a name, it has a definition. And because it has a definition, you can identify what is proceeding out of it because you know what it is and what it is not. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
The age called.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to give us that concept so that we can have insight into that caption. The word about age, concept of age and ages. When we first time were originally introduced into this spiritual illumination, came in the year of 2017. That's where I told us that the journey began in the revelation of Christ. I've told us, some of us know that year. Once we were in that illumination, we found the mysteries of ages and how they are age Christ and ages in God. An age is defined by the prevalence of a kind of activity, or a way of doing things, or a shift or a change in the emphasis of what is predominant in people's life. That is the general and the scholastic, and if you may, the secular approach to the definition of an age. And because it is true, it's parallel. Because it is true, it is parallel. If you check two scholastic segments, you see we have this. We have the Bronze Age. We have the Iron Age. We have the Industrial Age. We have the Modern Age, which is where we are now, that is overladen with information technology. In the same way, we have the ages in God. We have the age of the fathers. We have the age of the covenants. We have the age. The Old Testament carries in its archives series of ages. We have the age of the flood and the age of creation, and then we have the age of man, which began from the New Testament, but are introduced into all the age of the Holy Spirit in the earth. Are we together? Now, all of these are broad scale definitions and categorizations of God's dealings. These are truths you even find in Jiku study of the ages of man dealing with God. But that's not my emphasis. When we began to look at that in 2017, we began to understand age, the age, ages in God, ages in Christ. And I remember, for those of us who have been so, In Jesus' most precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm sorry, I'm expressing some partial disconnections or connectivity. All right. And we said that we came in, we have entered a season from that time that there needs to be a personal illumination into the mysteries of Christ. Now, what I want to show to us today, this word first came to us in October of 2023. Are we there?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
This great mystery and insight was given from 2023. It's more than a year now. So ever before we had any meeting on the gates of wisdom we had in the assembly area earlier on, this word had already been finished. And it is this word I want to show you now. Every prophetic word I'll be mentioning are things that have already been given from 2023. Have already been detailed from 2023. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed.
Amen.
How many of us remember the meeting? Break these seals. We have this word was before we had the meeting, break these seals. But it wasn't mentioned because it's directive. I'm going to share with us and that insight that has been kept away for some time. Are we there? Are we together? Are we listening?
Yes, sir.
So in that year of 2023, within that ending of October, September into October, particularly in October, the word of God came to us. Are we listening? So if you have a Bible, I want you to open to Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 24. Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 24. That's where the word of God began to come to us from, with this great and profound insight. Are we listening? Now,
yes, sir.
This is what it says. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you. And that's Paul the Apostle speaking. He said, and fill up my flesh what is lacking in the self-afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Please own a Bible. Open it on your phones and all. Colossians 1, 24 to 25. He said, what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Are you listening? And so, the word kept coming, and then the insight broke. The insight I will break to you now, and I want you to watch as I'm going to pull out some implications of what he meant when he said, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship. Are you there?
Yes,
I know you know what to minister means. To minister is to serve. When you look at the minister in the Federal Republic of Nigeria, they are the administrative arm of the government. And so the presidency, we appoint a minister to manage an administrative arm. We have the minister of petroleum, we have the minister of finance, we have the minister of health, minister of education. To minister means to serve. And that Greek word is diakonos or diakonia. Diakonos. It's a minister, somebody that serves. So he said, I am given a function. I am given a role. I am given a job. According to the stewardship from God. The Greek word for that stewardship is oikonomia. Oikonomia refers to a system. The word oikonomia is where the English word economy comes from. And anybody who knows what we talk about, the economy of a country, you know it's a complicated system. It talks about a whole lot of things, commerce, where technology intersects with culture, commerce, entertainment, is the intersection of all of a nation's way. And that's why when the economy is not working, a lot of things will stop working. Paul said, I was appointed as a diakonos, as a minister, according to an oikonomia. What it means is that there is a scheme out of heaven. I'll explain it better for you. From God, which was given to me. That's him. He now repeats the same thing in Ephesians, because this is the centrality of Paul's calling. At any time Paul begins to talk about the oikonomia, he's talking about the central foundation, the underlying foundation of his calling. Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 3 verse 1. Now, so if you have your Bibles, you have to run now to Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 1. Are we there already? If it's in your phone, you just swipe a little bit, you find it. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 1 to 4, he said, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of grace. That dispensation, again, is still talking about the oikonomia of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. If you have indeed heard of the oikonomia, he brings again the same word he used in Colossians, of the grace of God. That grace here is the gift of God, gift, charis of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. As I have written already, by which when you read, you understand. So listen, Paul's calling was rooted in an oikonomia. It was rooted in a scheme, an institution. I'm going to make us understand in a moment. It was rooted in a system out of heaven. Now, Nigeria as a nation got her independence in 1960. And then a few years after that, a civil war broke out because of a coup that happened. And series of events that played on after the coup led to a civil war. And the civil war of Nigeria was beheaded by two military men. They were led, the both factions of the country were led by two military men. General Yakubu Gowon was one of them, the other one on the part of Nigeria, and then Odumeji Ojukwu was the one spearheading from the agitators who wanted to break away. Permit me to use that word, agitators. They wanted to break away from the nation, right? Now, after they fought that gruesome and bitter war for a period of time, the other parties, they surrendered. That brought an end to the civil war. Now, because of that civil war, in a bid to repair the nation, the then head of state of the nation, of the country, then conceived an idea. We are going to be one, but let's do something about it. And that conception in his mind gave birth to the fact that we will have the youth from every part of the country after their years in higher institution We serve a compulsory 1 year in just diverse part of the state to show that Nigeria is one. So I'll send my son, or somebody will send it, a young man graduates in the east, you'll go all the way to somewhere in the north, you go all the way to somewhere in north central in the west, somebody in the west will go to the east, and just like that, to be there for 1 year, to foster unity and a sense of oneness. And he gave birth to what is referred to in Nigeria as the National Youth Service Corps. That National Youth Service Corps is a scheme on its own, and it forms an oikonomia. Because we now have the director general of it, and then we now have people that function within the same body. We have state coordinators, we have different roles, we have registrars, we have a whole system and a structure and an institution built. And then from that institution comes out functions. And anybody who has served here has been under an LGI, state coordinator, That NYC scheme is the oikonomia. The idea and the conception that gave birth to it remains the purpose and the destiny of the oikonomia. The ones who serve and now have a function that is built on that ideology are the diaconos. What Paul is saying to you is that out of heaven, there is a system that is built that gave me employment. There is an institution, a conception in the heart of God that gave birth to a kind of system in heaven that necessitated my call. And he goes on to reveal that mystery in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5. Peter, read from verse 4 to 5 for us.
Ephesians chapter 3,
verse 4 to 5.
Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit.
Continue, sir.
Verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partaker of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gifts of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power.
That's okay, sir. Thank you.
Unto me. All right, sir.
Now, did you see what he said? Now, when the church started from Acts chapter 1 to 10, the apostles then didn't know that it's possible for people that were not Jews to be born again. They didn't have that idea. So the Gentiles, the salvation was just for the Jews. But God had a plan in mind that this salvation will go out to the Gentiles. It is that thought in the heart of God that gave birth to Apostle Paul's calling. That's what Paul is always saying when he says, of which I am made called an apostle. And Paul calls it, if you see the scope, he calls it the oikonomia. He continues to use that word. He chooses that word because he sees that it's an elaborate plan of God, strategy of God. The same way we have the elaborate plan and strategy of unifying ourselves, necessitating functions and people to serve. Paul continues to see that there is a necessity out of heaven that gives me an apostolic calling. Are you listening to that? He calls it the stewardship. He refers to it as a dispensation. He calls it an organization out of heaven. He said, this oikonomia, this economy of heaven, gave birth to my likes, apostles after my order. Rikotum barata shiketele barata sekoto rabatasio. Kinde beliko shanda la bakasi eketi akata balakatis kopagi abadash. Rekete koskata la barabakash ketule boloko. The position given to him within that oikonomia, that economy in heaven, gave him a function, gave him a place. He saw the scheme and the structured purpose of heaven to redeem the Gentiles. And then that's what he meant when he said, "This my calling is according to this order." And then the word of God came, was revealed to us, and then the Spirit of God revealed through his word that there is an economy of wisdom that will come. That is an oikonomia of wisdom. The idea, you know, in Paul's days, his apostolic calling was hinged on the economy of the salvation of the Gentiles. But he said, no, there's coming now an economy of wisdom. That is, there's a wisdom structure and institution from heaven already that is giving functionaries and appointment and purpose and meaning to people that will arise in this hour. And then he said, this is the fact that you are now in the age of wisdom. What does that mean? It means that the ministers that will come forth will come out of a structure in heaven that is defined as wisdom. Is it a complicated matter? He said, when you read, you will understand my knowledge, the mystery of Christ, how that I was called, made a minister according to the stewardship that I have received from God. That is, there is an accordingness of my calling that is derived. We are now entering the age that is called wisdom. That age is called wisdom because it defines the operation of God's Spirit. So, you have stepped into a new age spiritually, and it will manifest. One of the ways to tell an age is that you will see the prevalence. It's not like the former things will not be, but you see the prevalence and the switch in operation. During the Stone Age, according to archaeology and history, one of the prevalent tools of man was stones. They used stone for almost the carved stone. Stone was their life, the activity, the technology was basically stones. They were living inside stones, according to archaeology and all that. They stayed in caves. They couldn't build. It was a stone age. And then they moved to the Bronze Age. In the Bronze Age, they were still using stones, but there was a shift. And then we had the Iron Age. And then in the Industrial Age, you see that in the Industrial Age, machines and other inventions began to come into place. And then it changed the culture of the people. Because the culture of a people changes when the age changes. And what is culture? The way of the people's life. So the people that were living in the Iron Age were not living the same way the people that were living in the Bronze and the Stone Age were living. because the age necessitates a shift in cultural activities. The age of wisdom suggests that there's a switch in the operation. All other things that God has built from time will still abide, but there's a switch in the modus operandi. There's a switch in how things will change. There's a change. Karkashikorodo. There is the release of that grace. That's why you see, he said, I am a minister according to the gift of God's grace by virtue of the stewardship I have received. Listen, you are a generation that is called amongst other things to walk in a realm. That realm will have to be detailed. And that's what I've started from tonight. We have now begun to detail it. We told you once when we started that definition tells you what something is and what it is not. And when we understand what a thing is, we know how to walk around it. They say understanding is the foundation for success, for any successful undertaking. Every successful undertaking is undergirded by a strong understanding. I welcome you to the economy tonight. He said, you are in the age of wisdom. Age, it talks about a shift. You are in the age of wisdom. This was in 2023. I'm not talking about what I'm reading out for you now. It's dated, 17th of October, 2023. That's when it was penned down. You are hearing it now in December of 2024. It's significant that it is coming at the summation, the rounding up of one season. Because for those of us who have been in KGN for some time now, when we usually have gatherings, is Maureen here, if she can speak, because she used to be the one to have some of those transcripts. We said it that in 2020. I'm trying to pull out the transcript, but I don't know where those transcripts are because there are a lot of them. Yeah, she's here. She compiles this transcript. She must have come across that. We said there will be inventions and the outbreaks of knowledge and wisdom in the year 2025. That was 2020. How many of us remember that? We said 2025, outbreak of invention. We even said that by that 2025, many afflictions that have no cure will start having cures. You said that in 2020. That was 5 years ago. Okay, 4 years. It's almost 5 years now by the time we step into. Funny enough, if I'm remembering correctly, those things were said in October, within the season of October. You are in the age of wisdom. From Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 10, according to biblical chronology, it's stated that it's a period of 10 years. And for those period of 10 years, the church at that time, they were only preaching the gospel to the Jews. They were in an apostolic age, but not the fullness of the scope of the foundational apostolic age, because the gospel was not going to the Gentiles. And then in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius had a vision and he sent for Peter. And Peter first preached to the Gentiles and they received. And God was ready, now began to show them that, well, these other guys can be saved too. That I desire that. But then after that point, we didn't have any other information that there were anybody ever preached to the Gentiles again unless as it was revealed in the conversion of Saul, where he said he will bear my name to the Gentiles. And then in Acts chapter 13, Paul was sent forth fully. When he went to the church in Jerusalem, if you read his epistle in the book of Galatians, he said that when the elders and James and John and Peter, whom he perceived to be pillars in the church, saw that the apostolic grace and the grace unto apostleship that was at work in the life of Peter to the Jews was at work in him to the Gentiles. He called it the working, the effectual working, the apostolic working. That word working has to do with energy. The word J is energema. It talks about energy, a doing ability inside. He said, Peter is configured to the Jews. I am wired to the Gentiles. We come from two different ages. My age begins with the salvation of the Gentiles. That's why my ministry delayed until when it was time, because that's the economia that gave me employment. If you read through Paul's apostolic encounters, anytime he preaches to the Jews, you end up suffering calamity. As a matter of fact, what put him in the final trouble of his life was because they saw him. It was the Jews that put him in trouble, not the Gentiles. Anytime he goes to the Gentiles to preach and he ends up in trouble, it's the Jews that caused it. Like the time he was stoned, it was the Jews that came and polluted the minds of the people that he preached to. So he came from, that's why he's very particular, precise about it, that my apostolic calling is coming from a dispensation. I have a dispensation that I'm called. If that dispensation does not begin, my function will not come into light. My function will not come into light if that dispensation does not begin. There are many of you, you are called to reveal the wisdom of God. It's as if your life is delaying. It's because your age was yet to be fully unveiled. Tonight and from this moment, as I'm pronouncing the word over you, your gifts will start flying out of you.
Amen.
Your diakonos, the reason why you were called, the platform of your calling, the platform of your assignment, they have just established the foundation so that you can have place to stand. If Paul had come before the age where the Gentiles would receive the word, that is because God had that timing. He said, preach from Jerusalem to Samaria, Jerusalem to Judea, to Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. If he had come before the initiation actually from heaven, he may have died. Because he was not wired for the Jews at all. Anytime he preaches to the Jews, the first time he preached to the Jews, and then eventually jealousy was stirred in them. He used scripture to say, because you reject the salvation, lo, we go to the Gentiles. Because he said, because that's how God has commanded us, that I will send thee as a light to the Gentiles, and you should be my salvation to the uttermost part of the earth. That scripture is the definition of Paul's assignment. Some say, I don't feel called to preach. That's not me. But I know there's a calling in my life. Your economia just arrived. Pastor, but I still sense a call. I still sense a call. Your age has come. You say, we are in the age of wisdom. There is an economy of wisdom. There is an economy of wisdom. See, you are in the age of wisdom. There is an economy of wisdom. That was October 2023. But now I said the convergence of 2024 declared that there's a foundation. There's a foundation for which the details of your life will run. There's such a thing as the ages in God. We have stepped into a new age. We have stepped into a new tech. Because it talks about technology. Technology is derived from technique. Technique has to do with skill, how something is done. You have stepped into new God technology. Wisdom is the age. Kabarakato shekete lebrete keti ababarata kasebrete keti panabata kata kata liburoto koshke palaria. The age called wisdom. The age called wisdom. The age called wisdom. The age called wisdom. I told us it is an emphasis. And if you are in that age, you have to partake of that grace. all of us here are called into it. One way or the other, that a quarter of it must show forth in you. Leborata shekete libarata kasibrati keti paragadash. Mabrata talabarata kate protokoturu batasketre lebedekash. Go ahead, go and just be praying. Wherever you are praying, yekete lebrete pisata labarata badea. Go ahead, pray. Maka shekete librata tabadata papatia. In Jesus' most precious name we have prayed. Father, we thank you. Like we said, the age will be defined. The age will be what? When a thing is defined, you know what it is and what it is not. When a thing is defined, you know what it is and what it is not. The age will be defined. There is wisdom in the age that has come. There are other rulings going on. But like I said, when an age comes, it doesn't cancel the other. It complements it and they collaborate to furnish the glory, to furnish the works of God. But at the same time, there are tribes and tongues within the works of God. There are many releases and many kinds of grace that initially would not have found a foundation or an underlying construction for full manifestation. God is saying to you, I have called you to declare and to declare the grace of my spirit in wisdom. There is an age called wisdom. It's an age in God. This house, these tribes, these kingsmen that are here, we pioneer that age. We define it. We declare it. We pronounce it. We announce it. I know you must have had a lot of war talking about wisdom, and it may just be, I've been everywhere. But little did some know that, apart from it just being a word or a preaching that just kept reoccurring, it's a scheme. It's a dispensation. It's an oikonomia. It's a stewardship. So that it's not just a word. It's a whole scope. It must be defined. Must be understood. Father, we give you proof. An age called wisdom. The age called wisdom. It's as you are stepping into the coming year, that's the requirement. You must be conscious of that fact. And that is why this meeting will continue tomorrow. Because tonight is an annunciation. It's to declare the word. Tomorrow now we journey into details. Because we use the illustration of the youth service core, the scheme. We use it as an illustration to give us understanding. You know, it has a structure. It has a purpose. Why wisdom? And what is the implication of this? How do I get in? And what shall I do? This is necessary to arm you for the year that comes. Because it's an age of wisdom. You see, those that be wise shall shine. Those that be wise shall shine. It is an age of wisdom. Those that be wise, they shall shine. Father, will give you peace. I will beseech you tomorrow to be present. Because tonight does not complete the world. tomorrow is the 30th of December. The day after it is the 31st. And then the day after 31st, you are in the new year already. It's for you to understand the things that will be. Tomorrow, a great deal of details and revelation will be given to us to equip us, to chisel us, to sharpen us, to shape us, to organize us. And so much, Jesus. There's an age called wisdom. We have proceeded into that age. We have shifted into it. I know that by the end of tonight, our lives will never be the same. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead, pray a few minutes in the spirit. Just pray a few minutes. Let your spirit open up at another level. Pray a few minutes and then we'll round up. 9:30 is our stoppage time. We have 3 minutes. Just pray a few minutes as we... Go ahead, pray. In protoco terriba babas kendre lebedio mandi code ranita posta. Go ahead, pray, just pray. Rebebe te keliba mandi te terriba bosh repende lebebe ricatush rende di bobo ratata lebebe de bobo ratata in braca kati ke lebe rebebe de li brata kasi protoco dia ricolto repeti sa pradada ma
na mandi te terriba
Something is breaking forth for someone. Don't stop. Marati soprede. Repeki dalla babarada da barada babarada babarada. In protoko zeprede gedia. Ya prata kashibole gedele gedia.
Amen.
In Jesus' most precious name,
amen.
I decree your breakthrough into this realm in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Access to prophetic things is given at the place of the unveiling of the word. Saul was never a king, but when he met Samuel, and Samuel said, "Stand still, stand here, that I may declare to you the word of God." He said, "Is it not because the Lord?" From that moment he encountered the word, he got upgraded. He was onboarded. Access into prophetic things is delivered at the place of the revelation of the word, the revelation of God's word. because you have been here and this revelation has come to you, many of you have stepped into the age. In the name of Jesus, it's a spiritual transition.
Amen.
Before the generality of the populace came into the age of the Holy Spirit, the apostles made the transition from the upper room. In Ephesians chapter 19, there were still some persons who did not know the Holy Spirit. They were still operating in the Old Testament age, the New Testament. Why? Because the word of God had not been revealed to them. Because God's word has come to you and you have received it. You have transited.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. So,
Amen.
Because you have transited, let all the activities and the operation of the Spirit that goes on in that realm for encounters, for revelation, for diverse access to music, diverse access to treasures, let it begin to occur in your life and your spirit now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
If you are in the midst of fire, you will feel hot. If you are in the midst of you are in a cold environment, you will feel cold. If you are inside water, you will get wet. Whatever is the consequent result of breakthrough into the realm of wisdom, which being broadcasted occasions and results into an age being referred to as wisdom, I decree and declare that those activities and supernatural operations become tangible in the life of everyone that is present tonight in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
A shift in your life and in your destiny.
Amen.
In Jesus' most precious name, we are praying.
Amen.
Miracles, we go on. Miracles of the Spirit, miracles of destiny. Miracles, we go on. Miracles, we go on. Miracles, we go on. In the name of Jesus. I breathe upon you by God fresh breath, fresh dew, fresh grace, freshness of spiritual environment to confirm that your season has changed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we give you peace. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' most precious name, we are praying. Go ahead, give the Lord the highest praise. Bless his name and worship.
Hallelujah.
Tomorrow, 7:30 is the time. Today is an annunciation. Tomorrow you will get structure and label. You know, when you have a diagram of the heart, of a cell, of the eyes, you can just, if just, you just see the diagram. But once they begin to label the parts, you know which is which. Tomorrow there shall be a detailing and an identification. We have defined to be a detailing and identification. It's important that you are here tomorrow. If some persons were not here today and you know that they ought to be here, share the link and invite them also to be here. It's important that you are here tomorrow. It will settle your next year in the name of Jesus. It will make you come to the point where you say, so me also, I can be like this. See, wisdom makes a wise man's face to shine. See, the wise shall shine. It's a new season upon you, and God bless you. We hope to see all of us again tomorrow, same time, 7:30, and by 8 o'clock prompt. We trust God that a shift again into this dimension will progress, will begin. God bless you. Go ahead, appreciate him and bless him and thank him. Hallelujah.